Tonight, I want to talk about confessing sins. And let's start by seeing what the Bible says about confessing sins. I found it in two of Israel's tribulation epistles written to Israel by two of Israel's 12 apostles. Let's look first at 1 John 1:9, a verse many of us are familiar with. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, you can probably notice I emphasize the pronouns there. Let's look also at James 5:16. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Well, this use of the word confess means to own up to something, to admit it, to acknowledge. And after we... Let's just look at the first verse here. We'll start with 1 John 1:9. And it's very telling of the differences in God's dispensing of salvation and forgiveness to different people groups for God's higher purposes, that he made these differences in revelation as you go along through history. The people groups are different, as you can see in Leviticus 20, verse 26. And you shall be holy unto me. Now you got to find out who the ye is to know what he's saying and who he's saying it to and who it applies to. Ye shall be holy unto me, for I, the Lord, am holy, and have severed you from other people, that you should be mine. Well, that means that the people that he was speaking to, Leviticus is to and about Israel, they had to be different than the rest of the people so they could be holy unto the Lord. Let's look at 1 John 1:9 in that regard. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, that, you know, if you're familiar with studying to be approved and not ashamed, it rings a red flag there, I guess, rings a bell, displays a red flag. What unrighteousness do those have who have been imputed the righteousness of God? So there's a little conflict there. If John was writing that to us today here, then it would be an error of self-contradiction, wouldn't it? There are no errors, though, in the King James Version of the Bible. If there were errors in the Bible, then you could not trust it to show you the way to be saved today from being dead in trespasses and sins. But the King James Bible is pure and can be trusted to tell the truth about your eternity, where you will spend your eternity, depending on your choice of what you believe. What God has offered is what you need to believe. But we'll go on. The King James Bible is pure. The apparent self-contradiction is that 1 John 1:9 says that our sins are forgiven if we confess our sins. However, well, there's a couple things there. One is, who is the we? Is that spoken to us? 1 John 1:9. And the other is the conditionality of it. Are we placed under conditions in the new pattern that God revealed through Christ, through Paul, starting in Acts 9? Well, there's an answer in Ephesians 1, verse 7. If you read, we're not going to take time tonight, but if you read verse 7 through 15 in Ephesians, the first chapter, it says to those who are already saved, talking to those, and that's identified in verse 12 and verse 15, that they already have forgiveness of sins. Ephesians 1, 7. Those who are saved in this dispensing of God's grace have already believed that Christ died for their sins. Among other things, including myself in the our sins, Christ died for our sins, including myself in that group of our, is a confession that I have sins that I can't fix, and the Savior said he died for them. And I receive that salvation, that justification, that forgiveness and quickening. Look at the wording of Ephesians 1, verse 7. In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. And that verb carries over. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Not according to my behavior. Did you get that? It's according to the riches of his grace. And if we keep the context in mind, there's no self-contradiction there. The thing to look at is the pronouns in these cases, these verses here. The pronouns we. We must identify the difference in the pronoun we in 1 John 1:9 from the we, the pronoun we in Ephesians 1:7. It's the same two-letter word, but it's different people. The group that John wrote to in 1 John was called the circumcision. And in Galatians 2:9, John pledged to go to, including to write to, only the circumcision. And that was believing Israel, the part of Israel that believed. Look at Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, Cephas is Peter, and those you can find most of those epistles after Paul's Romans through Philemon, most of those tribulation epistles, Hebrew epistles, are by those very people, James, Peter, and John. It says, and when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, Paul speaking, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. And here's where it says who John goes unto, and they unto the circumcision. So John limited his writing to the circumcision, the Jews. However, the group that Paul wrote to in Ephesians 1:7 and in Romans through Philemon was the heathen, the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, called the heathen in Galatians 2:9. They gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. Who's he writing to? He's writing to Gentiles in that case. What about Romans 11:13? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. I speak to you Gentiles. Over and over. Christ was not sent in his earthly ministry. He was not sent to Gentiles. He was sent to the lost tribe of the house of Israel. Okay? And when he sent out his apostles, his 12 apostles, he said, don't go to the Gentiles. Stay out of the way of don't go to the way of the Samaritans. Go only to it was to the Jews that he sent them. And he said that as the Father has sent me, so send I you. The way I was sent just to Israel, I'm sending you just to Israel, in other words. In John 20, John 21, verse 20, or 20, verse 21, but I might have it transposed. It's in that area. And that's all before his crucifixion, before his resurrection, and before his ascension back to heaven, from which he revealed to us through Paul his new pattern of saving people. Only Paul is the apostle of the Gentiles, the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, according to Romans 15:16, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God. That's a specific gospel. It's got a name. The ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. The difference between John's forgiveness instructions to Israel and Paul's forgiveness instructions to us Gentiles proves that God dispensed to us different instructions than he dispensed to Israel. There was a difference. If you don't include the difference in the dispensings, you're not going to understand the way God operates or what your conditions are that you're under, what he has placed us under, and he's the boss. Those two dispensations have different forgiveness instructions, they have different salvation instructions, and so different gospels. Now, we can see, you know, that Israel was sent different forgiveness instructions than us Gentiles were sent. We can see by that John's instructions are to Israel, and that they're perfectly in line with the rest of the Bible's instructions to Israel. Israel's acceptance with God was conditional. They had to have faith. We have to have faith. But they had to have faith that produced works. If you go to the faith, Israel's Hall of Fame, Hall of Faith, Faith Hall of Fame, talking about Hebrews 11, there are about 25, you can count through there and come up with 25 instances where it talks about faith. That's quite a concentration. But as you go through the same verses, you find 74 events of works that the faith produced. Almost three times as many works as faith. So we can see Israel being required that their faith produce good works. And I've got a listing of about 15 or 20 verses here, references that I'll be glad to. I wonder if they will. No, they won't post, because you can't post carriage return in Paltalk. So I don't know if I should take the time to read them. I think people would fall asleep if I did, because there's no meaning just to the name of the verse without reading it. Throughout Paul's epistles to us Gentiles, his instructions are consistent that we must believe the gospel, not adding works to our trust in God, that he will graciously save us through our faith in the blood of the cross, since Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again. And we find a guarantee of that in God's word. He says, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you." So he's telling them the gospel, the good news. "The gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, and by which also you are saved." So this is the gospel of salvation, if you keep in memory You're saved if you keep in memory what Paul preached, not what Peter preached. It says, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. It's vain to believe James 2:24, what James says to the circumcision. It's not to us. It's not our instructions. Our instructions come only through Paul. What are the instructions? I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received. You have to do more than just a mental assent. You need to apply it to your life. Receive it into you. How that Christ died for our sins. There's our sins again. My sins. When you receive this gospel, you're receiving forgiveness. You're confessing that you need forgiveness of all your sins, past, present, and future. Verse 4, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day. And that's it. Don't go adding stuff to it. Certainly don't go adding your own inventions or your own works. Paul writes other inspired scriptures telling us consistently of God's grace in our salvation, uncontaminated by faith in our own works. That would contaminate it if you do that. If you trust your works, still hang on to, maybe I better get baptized just to be on the safe side. That's not the safe side. That's polluting God's gracious offer to save you and making it, as the text said here, making it vain, useless. So, anyone that takes the time to read through those two groupings of verses, I had another grouping just about as big here, references, maybe 15 or 20 references. When you read those two groupings of Bible verses, you can see that the writings of Israel's 12 apostles contain reference to salvation by faith and works and enduring to the end. To the end, you know, so that in the end you can be saved when Christ returns, Acts 3:19 and 20:21. However, all the scriptures rightly divided out for the Gentiles shows that our salvation is only by faith alone, not perverted with our prideful additions of our works to help God save us. It's not perverted in that way. It would be if we added those, put it that way. Then, with that in mind, if we should not distrust the Lord by asking him to forgive what he has already told us that he already forgave, that's just not trusting that he's telling us the truth, that he forgave him. Well, then, what should we do when we've sinned? First, thank God that he has already made sufficient provision to save you and to forgive you and keep you righteous in his sight. And second, Paul gives an example of one type of believer's sin that we can apply to the other sins. Ephesians 4:28. Let him that stole, so it's about stealing. If you're sinning by stealing, stealing thoughts, stealing tax money, stealing whatever it might be, let him that stole steal no more. So stop it. Don't just say, well, I got away with it, I can keep doing it. God is gracious, but Paul, this is included in Paul's epistles to us, Ephesians 4:28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Instead of taking something that's not yours, give something that is yours. Well, what if you sin again after you've sinned and gone through this process? Well, remember that in Christ's new pattern, he is already being long-suffering, over and over, in other words. He's long-suffering toward us. Look at 1 Timothy 1:16. Howbeit for this cause I obtain mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all long-suffering, for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Well, that's us. The pronoun them, for a pattern to them, for a pattern to us, which should hereafter, after Paul, in other words, believe on Christ, to believe on him to life everlasting. And remember that your life everlasting that you believed the gospel for, it wouldn't be everlasting if you could end it by doing something, doing anything you do or anything you think or believe. If you can end it, it's not everlasting life that God gave you and said he would give you. We saved people can avoid often grieving our sealer, the Holy Spirit, by coming to the knowledge of the truth. That's part of God's will, just like being saved is part of God's will. We can come to the knowledge of the truth by studying the scriptures, especially Paul's epistles and sermons. Paul wrote them for that purpose, as shown by the prayers of Paul. Let's look at, we're going to close here soon, but look at a verse here to close, I think. 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us from Paul, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which, here it is, it effectually works also in you that believe. Not only in Paul it works, but it works in you as you believe. Receive the word of God and believe it, and it'll work to make you aware of the knowledge of the truth, which is the other part of God's will, that we be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. That's how we grow. That's how we're edified. Always look to Paul's epistles and sermons to know God's instructions to and for and about us Gentiles believing into the body of Christ.